apostolically, the church will have to learn to flow in deeper dimensions of the Spirit. A lot of things have been put off on the church, and we have scriptures, we're praying, but yet there's a lot of things that we're not using, and the Lord will point some things out to us. The apostolic structure, heavens to earth government, which opened the portals of the supernatural so all those connected can enter in and benefit. Turn to Ephesians 4. I'm going to read out of the Passion Bible, Ephesians 4, verse 11. There's an aspect of grace. I want to train you tonight under the subject, what happens when grace is kept in place? What happens when grace is kept in place? That's one of the things the enemy don't want, but we're going to do it. In Ephesians 4:11, in the Passion Bible, we see here, and he has appointed some with grace to be apostle, and some with grace to be prophet, and some with grace to be evangelist, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. Notice he keeps saying grace, the translation. Their calling is to neutral and prepare all the holy believers to do their own work of ministry. Isn't that something? And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. Now, notice this next statement. These grace ministries will function until we all obtain oneness in the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one into a perfect man with the full dimension of spiritual maturity, with the full dimensions, dimension is plural, of spiritual maturity, and fully developed in the abundant Christ, the abundance of Christ. I turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 10. But God's amazing grace has made me who I am. You got that? You got that?
Yes, sir.
Because when you talk about grace, you are talking about the cross and all that the cross provided for us. You have to understand that. Grace and cross are exchangeable words. Grace and redemption are exchangeable words. And you want to know about it. You want to be clear on it. In this 10th verse, he shows us some things that we need to understand. But God's amazing grace has made me who I am. That's a broad statement now.
Yes, sir.
Huh? So if I leave grace out, if I don't understand grace, I'm not who I am. And I've seen that in the church at large all these years. I've watched it. Actually, we're not living like we should live above everything. Abundantly, at peace, no matter what come up. It's because grace was snatched out of the teaching. He said, but God amazing grace has made me who I am. So if I don't know about grace, I don't know who I am. Right? And his grace to me was not fruitless. Fruitless grace. Is it possible somewhere in our life that grace had been fruitless? And that's what we're training and digging for. Tonight we're going to dig so you know some more ways to yield to grace. In fact, I work harder than all the rest, yet not in my own strength. Notice that. But God's. For his empowering grace is poured out upon me. His empowering grace. There's an empowerment in grace that you won't be able to get from nowhere else. So what happens when grace is kept in place? Number one, you'll be full of grace wisdom. Full of grace wisdom. Full of the wisdom of the cross and all the things that Jesus did. And then, here it is, hear it clearly. Grace can't fail, for it has passed every test. Now, when you're talking about grace, I want you to think about the cross. I want to think about the blood. I want you to think about the burial, the resurrection, the ascension. All of that is in grace. So grace can't fail, for it passed every test. So tonight you will experience an apostolic grace shifting. Now listen very carefully. Grace is the rim of the finish. You didn't catch it. You didn't catch it. You didn't catch it. You didn't catch it. Grace, it's already done. Grace is the rim. I'm not trying to get something done. It's already done.
Yes, sir.
It's mine, and I claim it by grace.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's another aspect that we need to watch. Grace is in the rim of holiness.
Yes.
Christians are supposed to be holy.
Yes, sir.
I can't hear you.
Yes, sir.
We're supposed to live right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you, sir. We're supposed to live right.
Yes, sir.
Grace is the rim of holiness. You live right. So actually, grace is living in the finished work of Christ daily. Living in the finished work of Christ daily. And these things had to be taught over and over again. The Holy Spirit keep inspiring me. Living in yesterday's dreams blind us to today's reality and to the possibility of tomorrow's hope. You can't live spiritually historically. You got to live in fresh grace.
Yes.
Living in yesterday's dream blinds us to today's realities and to the possibilities of hope tomorrow. Faith keeps grace in the present.
Yes.
Making the power of the cross available at all times.
Wow.
Faith, come on. Keep grace in the present, making the power of the cross available at all times. You imagine what your life would be like if the power of the cross is funking all the time? Now listen to this good. Get it down good. The grace through faith lifestyle is what Jesus wants us to live. In victory, freedom, holiness, miracles, signs, and wonders are waiting on the church to step in and to step out. All slipping and tripping in your life will be shut down by the power of grace. All slipping and tripping in your life will be shut down by the power of grace. Turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. All right, Lord, look at the first statement in the 21st verse. Then we're going to read the 20th verse. But look at the first statement. I didn't ask for no New King James Version. Give me the King James Version. They'll get it straight. Galatians 2:20. Let me get Bessie out here. You see, in the 21st verse says, the first statement of the 21st verse says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, I think at large that would have happened in the church because of not having the apostolic in place to keep grace in place. All right, grace teaching in place. You follow what I'm saying? Because the pastor, the teacher, all of us will be teaching the same thing.
Sure.
We're working for the same God. We've got the same power.
Yes.
We just got to coordinate and work together. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And say, so to a large degree, what has happened in the average life, grace has been frustrated. Been trying to do it some other kind of way or try to make it happen. Try to make something happen that God has already made happen. And so it's frustrated grace. When grace is frustrated, you frustrate your faith also.
Right.
So he said in that 21st verse, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Let's go back up to the 20th verse. I'm crucified with Christ. Crucified, that's grace, you see. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Then he said, I will not frustrate the grace of God. You see that?
Yes, sir.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, now, let's go back to that verse in the King James Version in 1 Corinthians 15 again. I want to show you something. Your whole 1 Corinthians 15:10. It's the 10th verse now. See, and grace is mentioned in that verse three times. Three facet of functioning of grace is mentioned in that verse.
Uh-huh.
You have to meditate long enough to grab those three things out there, saying three different things about grace. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's a broad statement, isn't it?
Yes,
uh-huh. And his grace was that which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Now, that's what it says in the book. But because of a lack of teaching and a lack of understanding, at large, the church, in his second statement, and his grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, it is in vain. Because if you don't know what it is, if you don't know how to function and you don't know how great it is, you're not dependent on to operate in grace, and your faith really don't have nothing to work with.
Yeah.
Because your faith has to be grace-based.
Yes, sir.
Follow me? And so what I'm asking you to do is, as we study, make the adjustments. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Okay, so I am not if I don't know grace. If I'm not functioning in grace, I'm not what God wants me to be. But thank God. We functioning in grace. I'm going to read it again. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. So there's an I am-ness in grace in the spirit world that not by emotion, it's a reality. It's a power. It's a position. It's a personal contact with God. It makes you above the world. He puts Satan under your feet because you're walking in a dimension that is higher than him. See, grace is a high dimension of God that the believer can carry with them everywhere they go. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all. Now watch what he said. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So it's three aspects of grace is taught there to cause you to function in another dimension. Listen here. Let me give you number two. Limitations will leave your ministry and your life. Limitation will leave your ministry. Limitation will leave your life. You function in grace. Limitation will leave your life. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12. I remember dealing with what happened when grace is kept in place. Now we're talking about limitation. We have to leave your ministry. And I notice I'm putting you in the ministry. Notice I said I'm putting you in the ministry. You're not just a pew seat setter. All of us are supposed to be ministry.
Yes, sir.
You got people been in church 40 years and never witnessing nobody. Never asked him about Jesus crossing the line. I ministered to a young white boy, 17 today. And he said, "Sir, I don't know what you're talking about." I explained it to him and he got born again. That's our job. Think about it. How many people have you witnessed to in your lifetime? How many people you brought to Christ? See? And we what happened is, the standard method is the church doors are open. 99% of it is Christian. You know what I'm saying? And they thought that's the way it's supposed to be done. But the Bible says different. The Bible says we're supposed to be one-on-one.
Yes.
You go to get your hair fixed, you go to the store, then you ought to always be alert. Can I bring somebody in?
Yes, sir.
Once you do it one or two times, then you go, "Oh, Lord, your whole life going to change." I love it. I get on my golf cart, I go looking for them.
Yes,
so we have here in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, who's our example? Who's our example? Who's our example? I heard you. I heard a lady. Lady Void. Who's our example?
Jesus
is our example. I can say it this way, the Lord is good. Jesus lived a grace-filled life.
Yes, sir.
He was showing us how to live a grace life that works by faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he had so many miracles.
Right. Yes, sir.
Grace create miracles. Because it got the power to do so. Grace creates your help. I was reading before this morning, we're managing sickness. When we're supposed to be getting manifestation. Look at it, look at it. We're actually managing sickness. The medical world, all they can do is manage sickness. They can help you, but you can't stay there. But you see, you become satisfied because the number went down, but the organ ain't changed. And so you stop talking to God about it, that I want my miracle. I want my grace miracle in my body. And so if you don't keep challenging God, asking God, the enemy gonna keep you just managing sickness. Ooh, that's something, isn't it? Our days of managing sickness is over. Listen to me. If you need assistance, get the assistance, but don't live there. Every day say, I want to tell God, and you can get bold about it. I want my miracle. I want this thing off my body. I want this organ working right. I want a new one. I want you to put a new one in there, Lord. What? I want you to create another heart. I want you to create another set of lungs. He can't give it to you unless you ask him. Managing sickness and disease. And the church got right in the line with him. But you're going to get your miracle. And don't stop talking to him. Don't stop talking to him until you show up. Say, now you the boss, God. You're going to be doing this.
Yes.
I'm here. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Young, the miracle, we got a miracle here. This young man and his wife stood, the other young man's wife stood. They came to my house yesterday. You want to sow seed in my hand. He's supposed to be gone. But God turned it around. When Kennedy was in the hospital, they told him he wouldn't have no baby, but his wife didn't lie, it's his baby. You can look at him. Powerful man. And you see that second verse in Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And where he at now? So in your prayer time, don't ever stop. No matter you took that pill and your blood pressure went down, you still not healed. See, I want my healing, Lord. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes,
I feel that, boy. That's precious there. That's real precious. Supernatural grace. What I say?
Supernatural
grace. That has provided everything through the cross. Supernatural grace has provided everything through the cross. So there's nothing you can ask for, you can't have, because it's already provided for you. Grace is the provision of the cross in one word. When you say grace, you're calling for all the provision of the cross. Lord, I want my health because of grace. Lord, I want my healing because of grace. It's already paid for. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Supernatural grace has provided everything through the cross. Everything. See, everything is provided for me
by the grace of the cross.
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Good God Almighty. Most glad, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of God, of Christ, may rest upon me. Look at that. Look at that. So it's not that you're so strong. I like what happened in Romans 8, 26 through 28. It starts out with infirmity. Then it goes to the mind of the spirit. Then it goes to the will of God. Then it goes to the love. Romans 8, 26 through 28. It starts out, let's look at that a minute. See, your infirmities are a blessing. They get you out of the way. You can't do it. You recognize you can't do it. I need help. Help me, God. You said your word, you're going to help me. Help me. But if you're a manager and not a manifester, you're not going to ask for the help because you're going to think it's normal. I feel better now. And, you know, I got everything, the numbers down. And you think you're right. But you're not. You hear me? What did I tell you, Tony? Yeah, I want you to read that prayer, 26 through 28. Start out in the infirmities. Then it goes to the mind of the spirit. Then it goes to the will of God. Then it goes on to the love of God. Then it goes on to the call of God. Then it goes on to the purpose of God. All that in three verses. And then all of a sudden the scripture says, all things work together for good. Grace is the anointing of the cross. All the benefits of the cross is mine now. Grace is the anointing of the cross. All the benefits of the cross is mine now. And the scriptures, you're familiar with them, but you need to look at them. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Grace is the anointing of the cross. All the benefits of the cross is mine now. Not when I get to heaven. They're mine now. What problem is it for God to give you a new set of lungs? A new set of eyes. As you see my son there. And no problem. Just keep talking to him. God, what you going to do? I'm waiting on you. Don't ever give up. Are you hearing me? I don't care what you're dealing with. Don't give up. Your miracle is there. Your sign is there. Your wonder is there. Your deliverance is there. Your victory is there. Your overcoming is there. Mature. Become a matured Christian. Knowing that you have the right to have everything God says is yours. Don't sell her for it. Don't sell her. My God. Look at Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed. See, redeemed. Redeem is the grace word. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. All sickness, all disease is a curse. To be broke is a curse. To not be happy is a curse. Being made a curse for us is written, curse to everyone that hangs on a tree. So he hung on a tree. Look why. Look at the 14th verse. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. building by grace through faith a lifestyle of mercy and glory. What did he say? What the scripture say in Hebrews 4:16? What the scripture say? There's a boldness in grace. I was meditating and God said grace is bold. There's a boldness in grace. There's a boldness in the cross. There's a boldness in the blood. Boldness. I have a right to this. Not a weakness, a boldness. And listen. I haven't said nothing about your merit yet. Your merit, what, how good you live and how good you can talk and how good you can pray. I haven't said nothing about that. No, because grace got it covered. Grace is going to help you live right, but it's not on your merit. You can't, don't get on your knees and think you'll get it because of you. It's because of him. Here's some of the things that we must think about as we think about the grace life. Revelation, anointing, impartation, activation, manifestation, demonstration. I'm going to go back over those. All those are grace impartation. Revelation, anointing, impartation, activation, manifestation, demonstration, all that belong to you. Here's a statement that I want you to hear and see what the Lord gonna say to you about it. You can't measure grace because it's so vast and full of doing the impossible. For it has, listen very carefully, for it has erased all impossibilities. Grace has erased all impossibility. Oh my Lord. Grace has erased all impossibility. Let your soul and your spirit hear that. Grace has erased all impossibility. So Satan in the world and psychology and science cannot tell me that it's something impossible for me to have. I'm living in another dimension. I'm living in another realm, in the realm of grace that operates by faith. You can't measure grace because it's so vast and full of doing the impossible. For it has erased all impossibility. Hallelujah. Grace has erased all impossibility in my life. Say it. The word of God is the revelation of grace, which is the foundation of faith. Grace is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the kingdom all as one. As I was writing and studying, he says, grace is the mystery of the kingdom righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Matthew Now listen at this statement, because I'm going to say it, but I don't want you to miss it. I want you to hear this, because what you have to believe for, I want this to be in on it, in your prayer, all right?
Yes, sir.
This statement here. Grace anointing organize and guarantee the victory at all times. Grace anointing organize and guarantee the victory at all times. Soak that up. Use it. Don't just come sit here tonight. Use it tomorrow. Use it the next day. Use it in your prayer time. Now here's another aspect. Grace enable you to travel at God's pace in all situations. Grace enable you to travel at God's pace in all situations. Now here's what I was supposed to read to you in the beginning and at the end. He seemed to give me some prophetic words for these messages. It's a short one, but this is a powerful one. Come and see, there's a kingdom way to stay free. Stand open to the flow of grace, of my grace. Stand open to the flow of my grace. Will open the benefits of the cross in everything. Grace will keep my plan in your hand at all times.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Let's go back over a few things. What happened when grace is kept in place? Being full of grace and wisdom. Grace can't fail, for it had passed every test. Hallelujah. Grace is the rim of the finish. I'm going back over some things. Grace is the rim of the finish. It is what Jesus said, it is finished. Your help is finished. The Bible promised you a long, satisfied life. Miss Osteen died at 92. She just slept. And in her life, she had many battles because told her she wasn't going to make it. But she stayed in faith. And that's the way you're supposed to die. You're supposed to go to sleep. You're not supposed to go through 15 months of trying to hold on. She give you a long, satisfied life. When I'm going to die, I'm just die. I won't be hanging around. Let's explain the yesterday dream. Living in yesterday dream blind us to today reality. And the possibility of tomorrow's hope. That's why I'm not a whole lot on the past. I live in the present. Yesterday over. Tomorrow is to come. But I'm sitting in here right now. Thank God I'm here. Again, let's go back. All slipping and tripping in your life was shut down by the power of grace. Right now. Not only slipping and tripping, limitation. We had to leave your life tonight. You leave here unlimited. I'm an unlimited child of God because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. I release my faith now. Worry and sorrow is not a part of my life. God has not given me the spirit of fear, love, power, and a sound mind. Everything provided. Go back to that scripture. Let me close in 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Before we got to that 10th verse, 1 Corinthians 15, look back at the 6th verse. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the what?
Apostles.
And last of all, you're seen of me also as one born out of due time, for I'm the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Paul was talking about his life before he got converted. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Won't you say that? When you say that, all the power of glory become yours. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And then, this is where Satan come in to cut us out. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Now, that's in the Bible. But what about your life? What about your giving up moment? Everybody had it. Discouraged. And then Satan said, nothing gonna work out. He sit down and talk to you. Nothing gonna work out. You can pray all you want. Nothing gonna work out. That's what he's trying to tell you. That's why you got to. That's why you got to come unto me, all you that live in heavy land. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me from rest, peace. I'm all that you need. So there's a lot of vain grace in the church, because the people don't know how to operate in it. They're good people, don't get me wrong, good people, but being good people ain't good enough. You got to have some training, some teaching. And that's why I'm not hooping and hollering. I'm not the black hooper. We need to learn some stuff. We need to know. We need to know at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't need no hooping. Satan done come in my bedroom, and no, I don't need no hooping. I need to know what to tell him. I need to know how to pull out that soul.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, like people try to find. See, people want one or two things. They want it neutralized without being challenged, without holiness and stuff like that. Or they want it emotionalized, where they can jig and feel good go, not knowing what to do when the damage trying to come. And no such thing, and I know a lot of people listen to me, ain't no such thing as no black church, ain't no white church, ain't no Hispanic church. God, I got them on one church. But I got them on one people. Those who are born again. I don't care what color your skin is, you're a child of the living God. I feel sorry for the people around here. A lot of them live around here missing. They're missing out on this type of teaching that the Lord is putting in this place. They have no idea what God is doing. You leaving here tonight grace-filled. With gratitude and thanksgiving for what God is saying to me. It's not on my merit, it's on Jesus. I'm blessed because of Jesus, not because of me, not because I live so good. I'm supposed to live right, but my blessing is because of Jesus. And say this right, I'm a blessed woman. I don't want no man in my movie room to say that. I'm a blessed man. Yeah, don't get it mixed up. I ain't putting up with it. Men gonna be men here, and women gonna be women here. And you get your own woman. Don't be messing with nobody else's woman. I'm just straight. I'm from the old school. If I ain't gonna play no game, you ain't gonna play no game. Amen. Now, y'all just cleanliness and holiness is right. Come on, y'all. It's so good to come to our holy church. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Every now and then somebody might act a fool, but we'll get them. Act like them boys been with me, Ronald. They been with me. We'll get them. I had a man here messed up. He's working on my staff, messed around, messed with a woman. And I made him stand up for the whole church and apologize to the church. Yeah, he's on staff.
That's right.
He messed up, so he needed to tell everybody he saw her. He left, you know, but I got him out. I got him out in the open. In front of his wife and everything. I said, oh, yeah, you're going to talk. If you don't talk, I'm going to talk. Amen.
Amen.
Man, I'm kind of nervous here now. Isn't it? we were doing good by grace. Well, you're telling me I better stay in my place. Come on, Junior. And let me tell you, sow your way out. Yes, I sowed my way out. Sow your way out. I don't care what nobody say about it. Your tithe and your offering is very important to you. Sow your way out. Pay your tithes and the offering. And ain't no begging will be done in this church. But every now and then I talk with you. I know how Carol and I did it. We sowed our way out. We're still the largest sower in this church right now. I got two checks. She gave me two checks. I got two checks I got to put up here tonight. Sow your way out. What I say do?
Sow your way out.
It works. It works. You got a lot of beggars. You don't have a lot of beggars, and beggars discourage you. They're begging and reading 95 scripture to get you to give. No, God loves a cheerful giver. I give this because I want to give.
Yes.